Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Training camp continues today in Foxborough. Zolak and Bertrand live from Gillette Stadium, where camp continues today. A lot of activity here today, much better than yesterday.
A lot more people.
Much better things to see here today. And this hour, training camp coverage also brought to you by Apex Entertainment Center. A lot of great 11-on-11 action happening out there today. We will get to some of that coming up in our camp observations and tweets from training camp and all the above. Practice will end at some point in this hour. Probably another 20-25 minutes of practice. Hopefully we'll be talking to some players as they leave the field today, but there's stuff to watch. Better crowd here today, I've noticed.
Much better crowd. So when the lower level fills up, what they do is they open the stadium gates. Yeah. They allow people to hit the first and the second rafters. Some people get up to the third. So I'm telling you, tomorrow and Sunday, this will be full of people, standing room.
Yeah. I see people that are fanning them. A lot of people, I think they're handing out, they must be handing out promotional fans.
Oh, I had my kid down there.
Down there? You see all the people fanning themselves in the crowd? And they're in the metal bleachers. So and it's the crowd is sort of thinned out in those metal bleachers. They were packed this morning.
Well, that's actually marketing there, the metal bleachers. So
no, I'm talking about the bleachers that go the whole length of the field.
Oh.
Look at it. They thinned out. You can see them now.
Yeah.
So.
Probably got to eat.
They're probably all running down to the hill there to push each other.
You know what's great on the backside? They added concessions, too. So they have, barbecue
time.
Beef subs and all that.
Oh, they added, like, foods.
Yeah, new foods.
You've gone down and surveyed the foods. Patriots 2020, Bleacher Report today. NFL insiders talking about the future of the Patriots organization. Giving you some of the quotes here. But here's the stuff that they put in there about Garoppolo and Brady. And really about Garoppolo and Bill. The texting buddies. Jeremy, feel free to play some texting sound effects to piss Zoe off.
Boop,
boop, boop. It says, as I told you, one quote was that maybe the rift between Belichick, Brady, the trainer, Alex Guerrero, that would be enough to sort of fuel Brady to keep going. Then there's one director of player personnel who's plugged in across the league, as the story says, that explains. Listen, Belichick was set up for another 15-year run with Garoppolo. Belichick would hang around for another 15 years?
I don't know about that.
But it would have been, I get what he's saying, you know, the next franchise quarterback in career. And Kraft made him trade him away to keep Brady happy. You know that's eating at him. He had played this beautifully, and now he gets to watch this guy become the next great young quarterback somewhere else.
Kraft traded him away to make Brady happy. League MVP, the guy that basically built your brand. It was playing at a high level. This would be such a story if Brady played like crap.
But you know there's a way for
you
this.
You know, like at the end when Bledsoe played poorly here, and you could start to see maybe if there were the rumblings that Bill was getting ready to go to Brady. It ain't even close.
So if Bill was going to move on from Brady, right, a year early instead of a year too late,
right,
when would he have moved on from Brady?
It would have been second half of that Atlanta game, and things got worse. 28-3.
What?
That score ends up
31-10. No.
That's when Bill moves away from Brady.
Let's deal with what actually played out, like what's actually happened.
You asked me how he would have to move away from Brady.
No.
That's
when?
How.
When? If he had no other influences or interference or he didn't have an owner to answer to. If he didn't have to answer to an owner, like every personnel guy still has to answer to an owner. If he had no influence or outside, he is gutless, not gutless, heartless is what I meant to say.
Yeah, yeah.
He is cutthroat. He is ready to do whatever it takes. And he would easily trade away a guy who is really good because he thinks that the decline is coming.
Okay, I'll play.
Super Bowl happened.
Yeah, okay.
Last year they lose in the Super Bowl.
I'll play your happy world.
Given the Garoppolo contract situation, he would have been a free agent this last offseason, which he was. As a free agent, when does he do it?
He would have to roll the dice, try and win one with Tom this year against Philly, franchise Garoppolo, and then you move on.
He would have moved on from Brady this last offseason.
Yeah.
This would have been it. Brady wouldn't be here right now.
This past spring.
wouldn't that be the quintessential
that's your gun, moving on too early?
Better to move on early than move on late.
Yeah, that's your gun to the head. There's your date.
Well,
he wasn't going to bench Brady, player of the year, middle of the year last year. That's stupid.
Well, right. Okay? I totally agree. So wouldn't that mean that from here on out is the grading of Brady?
See, I think it would
versus
be.
Garoppolo? Or if Bill thinks that there's a chance he gets proven right, which he probably does, if Brady goes out and he doesn't play at the same level this year, I'm not expecting that. I'm expecting him to be great again.
I expect him to be great again. But if they,
but if he's not,
you know, how they talked about 19-0 last year in the preseason. Yeah. If they had a chance to run it because the team was built, it was stacked. You know, if you're Bill, you're crossing your fingers, you're hanging on to Garoppolo, knowing I'm going to franchise Jimmy Garoppolo. We're going to play the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl, and Tom's going to light it up, throw for 500 yards, get the MVP, and he's going to walk away. And he's going to go out on top, a winner, and win three out of the last four Super Bowls played.
Yeah.
And that's going to bookend his career.
Well, this is why
I'm going to get what I wanted, not only to have a great quarterback and six Super Bowl trophies,
yep,
but I'm also going to turn it over to the next phase.
My thought
is the guy.
If you're Brady right now, do you know what you should be motivated by?
What?
To prove Bill wrong. To prove that you
here.
Were.
He's here.
Yeah, but he wasn't here in OTAs.
That doesn't matter.
Do you think he's the most driven he's ever been? Does he sound like a guy who's the most driven he's ever been?
I don't know. I got to see
him. As his story says,
see him in the team thing.
He sounds like a guy who's at times searching for motivation.
He hasn't done anything differently than he's done in 18 years here.
Well, sure he has. He didn't show up for OTAs. That's different.
He hasn't shown up in other years.
But the norm for him, more often than not, I think, what, out of 15, out of 19 years or 18 years, he had been there? So the overwhelming majority of the time, he'd be here for OTAs. This year he feels a little like,
you know, I'm going to call the shots, too.
And we can play you the audio again, him telling us how important OTAs were. He said it 2 years ago when he was there and was a full participant.
And it's part
so something's changed.
You know, Coach, you blow the whistle, you do this, you say this. I've taken everything you've given me. You tell us to do your job. Maybe you didn't do your job.
This is my long way of saying, for all the Brady stuff that goes on and the doubters and the people that say he's getting too old, he can't keep it up forever, his biggest doubter could be his head coach. Maybe that's a big part of this rift.
I doubt that. I think that is the coach's biggest comfort, Brady, in a twisted way.
But I think
he doesn't have to worry about him.
Yeah, I think that if he had his way, he would have Jimmy Garoppolo as his quarterback.
Yeah,
that's what I think. I mean, that goes with who he is, what he's always been. Move on early, don't move on late.
I mean, they're always
that would have happened this offseason. Can you imagine that? I can't.
They're always looking, too, and then they see something that's different. And Parcells did this with Sims, you know, when Hostetler got in there. Sims is Parcells' guy. But all of a sudden, Jeff Hostetler gets in there, and you know what? We got another play of this bootleg, and I like this bootleg because we got a good running game. Get the running game going one way. What if his quarterback boot out? If Sims can't boot out, he's a dropback guy. So we got another little weapon in our offense here. Let's keep rolling with this. But still, it, like, eats Sims alive, man. It's hard, man, because one guy plays. Parcells would go back and forth. Bill did this in Cleveland. Bill did this with Testaverde and Kozar. So, much different story.
I was going to say, I don't know that I would compare it to either of those situations.
I'm not comparing Brady
neither
to
one of those guys were. Neither one of those guys were Tom Brady, and I would say that.
But the point is,
Garoppolo has a chance to be better than Testaverde and definitely better than Jeff Hostetler.
No, but the point is, coaches are always looking to replace the guy or find somebody to compete with the guy in camp. At the position, always looking. And that's it. Why do you like Testaverde? Because he pushed Kozar to a different level. Why do you like Garoppolo and Brady here? Because Garoppolo pushed Brady. You know?
Let's go to Jay, who's in the car. Hey, Jay.
Garoppolo has a chance to get
ready. Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Hi, Jay.
Turn down the radio, Jay.
What's up, Zoe? Hey,
what's up?
Hey, Zoe, we share our kids have the same name, Brody. How do you spell it? With an I, E, or a Y?
With a Y.
Same
B-R-O-D-Y. What's up, Brody? My kid's here with me today. Yeah, he's here.
Yeah. I want to know your odds on what do you guys think the Pats actually winning another Super Bowl during this last 3 years, 3 or 4 years. I think the odds are pretty slim. I'll hang out with some of your thoughts on the odds of winning another one.
All right. He says the odds are slim.
Why are the odds slim? Because the NFC is so good? I mean, you're a contender next 3 years in the AFC.
I would never say slim. You have the best coach and best quarterback. Yeah. How could you say slim?
Just get in the
fact,
game. Get in the game.
Listen to this quote in this story from a rival scout. Take Brady off that roster and they don't beat the Browns. I'm not joking. That's one of the worst rosters in the entire NFL, but you never hear about it because Brady is so bleeping good. That's a rival NFL scout talking about the Patriots roster and the quality of the roster. Brady is so good that you take him off the team, you put Brian Hoyer in, you're not beating the Browns. 617-779-0985 is the phone number.
Got a little two-minute going on.
Great. Donald is in Malden. Hey, Donald.
Hey, what's up, Joe?
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Watching football practice.
All right. Hey, I was calling today because I wanted to talk about what you pointed on about moving away from Brady this year. But more importantly, if Belichick wasn't forced really to trade Garoppolo, and maybe, just maybe, he plays Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, then maybe we make one of those third or fourth down stops. Brady and Belichick get their six, and they say, hey, look, bud, we love you. We loved everything you've done for us. But what if you maybe just retire? You go into you sail off into the sunset, and then we get Garoppolo for the next 10 years.
I mean, Jimmy was gone by then, though. That was the problem. Jimmy got traded last Halloween. So, but I mean, if they...
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, Donald. Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't with the Patriots when they
you
played
know what?
The Eagles.
Let's win the Super Bowl, and I'll just keep Jimmy. No, he was gone. Super Bowl. Gone. But I do understand that, say you do win it. Makes you think. Makes you think about legacies. Makes you think about, okay, have I had enough? Have I had enough? Talk about priorities, right? I owe time to family. Bill even talks about family. Everybody says it's time of family. Bill talks about family. Bill likes having family around on the trips. Bill seems like he has stopped and sort of smelled the roses and taken things in and enjoyed things more over the course of years to where I started to get a little nervous out in Minnesota. I'm like, wow, could this be the last one for Belichick?
Maybe if they won.
Yeah.
Maybe if they won.
But, I mean, you're looking at it and like no way they were ever going to score 40. We could sit Butler. We're good enough on offense. It's not like the Philadelphia freaking Eagles are going to score 40. They never played from out in front. I mean, all they did was play from out in front. They never had to play catch-up against a team like us.
Where are we at in practice here, Zoe?
Just finished a little two-minute drill.
Yeah?
Looks like we're going to an inside drill. Looks like backs, tight ends against linebackers and safeties.
All right, practice still cranking. Some observations from camp. Coming up here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand from training camp. In Foxborough, 11:21. Training camp continues. He's still out there working. A lot of work happening out there. Training camp tweets are what?
It's the best part.
What?
The cow section over here, the offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Like, you see everybody moving and doing athletic things. There's like a trough over there. They just make a circle around it. Now they go in, pick their helmets up, do a little stride and stretch. Put their hands in. Let's go. Ready? Fat guys on three. One, two, three. Fat guys.
Let's get to the tweets from training camp, shall we?
Tweets.
Tweets from training camp.
All right.
Hardy, you got those tweets ready to go?
I got all kinds of tweets here ready for you. And feel free to chime in. I know you have access to your interwebs down there. So if you see something that catches your attention, feel free to share. We'll start with Ben Mittens Volen, who 16 minutes ago tweeted, Hoyer throws a... Is that offensive to him? Does he not like that? Should we not call him Mittens anymore?
I call him Cankles.
Well, I mean, does it matter?
Well, I like Ben. I mean, I don't want to upset
him. Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything against him.
Does he wear socks?
Does it matter, though?
Ben Volen just dropped an absolute dime into Julian Edelman for a touchdown on a rub wheel route quarterback controversy. How about that? Can you talk to us about the rub wheel route, please, Scott Zoller?
He's obviously joking in that tweet. It comes through pretty loud and clear.
He also says...
I've seen Hoyer miss like 14 passes today. So.
16 minutes ago, he tweeted that Hoyer throws a red zone interception. Read the whole way by rookie cornerback J.C. Jackson. Quarterback controversy is off at least for one day. So, Mike Reese tweeting, one standout play of note, undrafted cornerback J.C. Jackson undercuts. Oh, that was the same one. Sorry, same play. Let's move on.
Now, the word on Jackson is that he had a really good minicamp, too.
Yeah.
That's what people have said.
Yes.
That have seen him play and have watched him, that he's been impressive so far.
You got to continue to make jumps. You know, it can't be the same guy you were in minicamp.
Right. Reese said that Jackson, with a good explosion out of his break, to make a play on the ball. So, you know, it's good for Jackson, not great for Hoyer, but there we go. Lots from Mark Daniels here. He said with Cannon out, the O-line was Brown, Tooney, Andrews, Mason, Waddle. So a little O-line talk there. You saw the 11-on-11s going on there, Zoe.
Yes, I did.
Mark Daniels was giving out some 11-on-11 stats for the quarterbacks. Brady, 8 of 15 in terms of his numbers there. Had a rough day by his standards. Need to give credit to the defense as well. That's according to Mark Daniels. For Brian Hoyer, he was 10 of 13, Etling 2 of 6 with an interception. I don't know why they didn't
I'd like to add something, and maybe this is in a tweet you're about to read. So Brady was 8 of 15 today, and some of the 8 were difficult catches to be made. And, I mean, were good throws, not anything against the throws, but were not high-percentage plays out of the 8, including a really nice catch that was made in the back corner of the end zone by Cordarrelle Patterson.
Now, when you real quick here, too, when you do these structured 11-on-11s, I don't know if that's whole field or I don't know if it's cut in half. They could be working half field. So basically, it's a two-man read for him. So he might just be being told, throw the ball where you got to throw it. So I think it comes together more when, you know, those team periods are going to mean a lot more when they have the pads on.
Yeah.
Because that's where you're going to – that's where you're going to bring some heat.
Well, then
see how I can do with people.
You know, another thing is Will Tye, the tight end, you know, one of those incompletions from Brady. Tight end falls flat on his ass in the end zone, and there's no one there to throw it to, and Brady threw it away.
That's Will Tye, too. So this could also be Brady getting reps against defensive drills. That could have been completely 100% defensive drill. So I have no clue. You know, but you'll know when it's team on team.
So
when you see their ones versus your ones.
So you got to take these with a grain of salt, right? So?
Yeah.
Grain of salt. Not for Hoyer, though. He sucks.
No, a lot of defensive back tweets from Mark Daniels talking about the McCourties, specifically. Devin McCourty intercepted Danny Etling. We knew that. He said Jason McCourty had a nice day, breaking up passes intended for Patterson and Hogan. So Jason out there making his mark. Stephon Gilmore had the defensive play of the day with a diving breakup over Edelman. He's been great this offseason. So,
Patterson, huh? That's the guy that somebody called yesterday, Cordarrelle Patterson. He's going to get
Cordarrelle. I always want to say Cordarrelle, too, but it's Cordarrelle.
It's Cordarrelle, isn't it?
No.
It's Cordarrelle?
It's Cordarrelle. Right. That's how he pronounces it. So, that's how you pronounce it. That's how you say
it. My mom's name's Daryl.
I'm sorry?
My mom's name is Daryl. So, I'll remember that.
Very relevant to the conversation.
Well, that'll help me remember it.
She watching today?
Probably.
Give her a shout out.
Hey, Mom.
Hey. Hi, Mom.
Yeah. How did I not know that about your mother?
Right. Brody, come here. Hurry up. Go around. Walk around.
Kyle Van Noy, according to Mark Daniels, continues to stick out in pass coverage. He broke up 2 Brady passes today. He has 4 PBUs in 2 days of camp. Not sure I'm not sure that I've seen pass breakups shortened like that before. PBUs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's statistical terminology there for you.
Oh, how about that?
PBU.
Yeah, got your PBU numbers here. Van Noy, 2. Jason McCourty, 2. Devin McCourty. Travis Cross and Gilmore, I guess they just had one. So there you
know, it's interesting when you see Jason McCourty playing corners, though. And a couple of times I've sort of flashed back to when Devin McCourty played corner as a rookie. It's like, what could have been?
Yeah,
right.
McCourty was such a good corner as a rookie because
he had a great rookie year.
He had nice long arm, but his arms were always in the game. Always in the game. On the hand was always on the hip of the receiver.
Yes.
Offhand was always knocking the ball down. Both those guys have good, nice, long, lanky arms, which is going to help them in ball deflection. And I thought McCourty had a really good rookie year at a corner. I'm surprised they ended up moving to safety and there was a struggle there at some point. Because I really thought, wow, they got a corner. It's going to be the next Ty Law here. Because Devin could tackle, too.
Yeah.
We got a lot of Mike Giardi tweets to get to here.
Oh,
he led with the big development today. Oh. You know what the big development today was?
Couldn't tell you.
Is it the punter?
No. He does have some punting tweets.
That's my big development of the day.
We'll start
left-footed punter.
Big development today, according to Mike Giardi, was starting right tackle Marcus Cannon leaving midway through practice with trainer Jim Whelan. Didn't see a noticeable limp. Didn't see if there was a play that caused an injury.
That's interesting.
Didn't know if you guys saw anything happen.
No, I didn't see when he left. I saw the tweet saying that he had left.
That's the same way Cannon has left practices like this before, and then you don't see him for 6 weeks, and you're hearing he's getting surgery.
Well, I wouldn't leap to that conclusion yet.
I'm not saying that.
I mean, at this time of year, unless a guy is visibly injured, where, you know, practice comes to a stop because they got to get it. I don't know. Training camp injuries happen. Guys get nicked. They get bumped. And in the day two, you're not going to take a chance. You're going to go back to the trainer's room and get it checked out.
Yeah.
That's how I sort of view things. So I don't get too worried about injuries, you know, as soon as they happen. I wouldn't be too worried about it yet.
Do you know the rookie punter's name, Beetle?
Bjornsten.
It's
Bjorn?
B-O-J-O-Q-U-E-Z. I'm going with Boyokes.
Boyokes?
Boyokes? Until someone tells me differently, it's like, yee-yee. I know I nailed
which,
that.
Which you've been proven wrong on. Which yee-yee, you're wrong on that.
Yee-yee. So Corey Boyokes scuffled big time today. That's what Mike Giardi says. So you tell me. For you punting enthusiasts, rookie Corey Boyokes scuffled big time today. He had an impressive spring.
I disagree with him. Zoe, how do you feel about that?
He had a good spring.
No, today.
Oh, you mean the kicker?
He was booming it, man.
Belichick into the drill because he kicked the ball so damn well into the wind.
I'm going to disagree with Mike Giardi's assessment on this guy today.
The wind is whipping this way. So he was having low kicks that spiraled, that weren't fluttering, that didn't get knocked down. So, all right, we're going to take a break real quick, come back with some players.
Okay, timeout. We'll send it back to the studios. Headlines, and hopefully on the other side, we're talking to Patriots players as they depart.
Sports Hub Headlines.
A loss, but a good game, according to Alex Cora, as the Red Sox fell to the Twins last night 2-1 at Fenway Park. Skip?
It was good. I mean, 2 runs in 9 innings. Obviously, they scored late in the game. BJ was good. That bloop single by Grossman put us in a tough position. Then he got a double play and then a hanging breakable. But overall, 2 runs. If we did that in a nightly basis, we win more than the ones we're going to lose.
Neither one of those runs given up by the starter, Brian Johnson. He went 5 2/3 innings, 4 hits. Tonight, it's Chris Sale to the mound, 11-4 on the year. He'll oppose Lance Lynn from Minnesota, who's 7-8 this season in the second of the 4-game series. Aaron Judge going to miss the next 3 weeks, according to the Yankees. He's expected to be out that long after he was hit by a pitch in the first inning last night and suffered a chip fracture in his right wrist. Sounds like a big day for the defensive backs at Patriots training camp. We just went over some of the tweets from training camp, and we'll continue our coverage as Zolak and Bertrand broadcast live from their perch atop the practice fields in Foxborough. More with them coming up. Headlines are brought to you by DW Field Golf Course. Improved greens and weekend morning tee times newly available. Now make the perfect time to play DW Field, DWFieldGolfCourse.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song. Oh.
Zoe and Beetle. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand live from Gillette Stadium. Patriots training camp day number 2. Practice has wrapped up. Players leaving the field. In fact, we're going to talk to one right now as we go down to the field level. We talk to David Andrews, who joins us now on Zolak and Bertrand. David.
What's up, fellas? How are we doing?
What's going on?
Oh, done with practice, so.
Hey, don't be starting with this grind stuff, right? You're not one of those ones that's going to fall for it. Like, oh, this is so hard. This is so tough.
No, I mean, we're playing in the NFL. This is a dream, ain't it?
That's right. Hey, does it really crank up tomorrow and Sunday? You know, is this an extension of the OTAs these first 2 days?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're definitely limited in what you can do. You know, obviously not out here full contact and, you know, helmets and shells. But, you know, tomorrow, pads come on, we start playing some real football.
I need to know, Zoe said a couple minutes ago, probably like 10, 15 minutes ago, as all the offensive linemen circled around all the helmets sitting on the field. Why don't you tell them what you said, Zoe, what they're
sounds like the cows going over to the trough.
That's what he said about you guys.
They're going to tear some corn up. And yeah.
And then he said you got in the middle and everyone put their hands in and said fat guys on three.
Yeah, fat guys on three.
That
happened? 1, 2, 3, fat guys.
That happened out there?
Yeah, similar. Very similar. So. Zoe's seen that a time or two in his career.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Usually with the quarterbacks.
But today, David, today felt like there was a lot more going on than yesterday. So yesterday really was sort of like the breaking the ice day, wouldn't you say?
You know, to me, the practice is pretty similar. You know, we always try to have different points of emphasis each practice. It is the first 2 days, but football's here and we're rolling.
Hey, when Mike Lombardi was here and Bill sort of bounced some things off Mike, he sort of kind of hung around the outside and he observed and he and Bill would talk all the time. You've got Brett Bielema here and seems like he is more invested in the defense. Is that fair to say that he's sort of more of a hands-on guy, even though he's a consultant to the head coach?
Every coach has a different responsibility. I'm not sure exactly what he's doing with the defense, but I know he's not coaching us. So,
David, have you ever had Ernie Adams come and tell you anything, any sort of tip or tidbit? Because we love watching Ernie Adams at training camp.
Yeah.
Get on his – Put the hands right on the knees, lower his head maybe 15 inches, and in his opinion, that obviously gets him a much better look. And we always wonder what the hell he's looking at.
You know, Ernie's kind of like a encyclopedia of football. I mean, you know, he's a great resource that we can use. Definitely asked him some questions here and there.
The line play is definitely one of the things he looks at. Like, we know that.
Yeah, he's,
about him.
What he does,
he's
is
one
he,
of those guys that's into the nitty gritty.
He listens to the call in the huddle. Then you guys go up to the line of scrimmage. He's got his hands crossed. And then when you bend over and grab the ball, Ernie puts both hands on his knees and he lowers his visual, his viewing level 6 inches. And I don't know what the hell he's doing.
I think maybe he does it as a sign of solidarity with you guys.
You got to get in there and see what's going on. You know, I respect that.
All right, David.
How's the food? What do you guys been eating?
Food's phenomenal.
Oh,
you know, we can eat a little bit more here in training camp because we're burning so many calories, so that's nice.
So you're the type of guy that doesn't have, like, drop a ton of weight like I used to have to lose 8 pounds a week before.
No, I got to try to keep my weight, so that's
good for you. God bless you.
Wow, what a blessing that is.
Let's go eat. Go eat, buddy.
You haven't seen Taylor Swift in the hallways here at all these last couple of days, have you?
No, we could hear her walking out last night, though, so I guess it was a good show.
What do you mean you could hear her walking out? Like,
when you – the music.
Got it.
You guys are trying to study.
Doing meetings.
So.
That sucks.
All right, David. We'll enjoy the rest of camp. We'll catch up with you
all
soon.
All right, Dave.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
See you, pal.
Right, David Andrews joining us here
good
at
guy.
Patriots training camp.
Good guy.
He's the best. Ernie Adams.
I was hanging out with him at an event and going back to the injury of Burkhead and Brady when he hit his hand.
Yeah.
And he said, man, you know, Tom's so damn tough and been around him now for how many years? You know, basically got his hands under mine all the time. Know everything about him, know his mannerisms. He says he's so damn tough. He would take these hits in games and you look and you hear him wince and you do something. He said when that cut happened, you never heard him scream the way he screamed when that cut happened to the thumb. And I go, what did you think? We thought we're done. Thought that's it. Thought his season was over.
And he didn't catch it on anything.
It was
what we've since learned about Brady's thumb injury in the playoffs last year. Isn't it funny how this gets, like, forgotten about? Because he played so well following the injury. And played,
like, days after it.
He played in the Jacksonville game. Remember the K-tape and everything that we did?
Yes.
You know, leading up to that game and the Super Bowl. And we even had the K-tape guys on.
Yep.
It was not that he cut it or slashed it on a helmet or something sharp. He bent back his thumb so far that his hand split.
It's almost like ripping your thumb off. You're like ripping a chicken bone off and the skin breaks.
That's what happened with Brady last year.
That's what happened with Brady.
Because we had assumed, like, oh, he caught the thumb.
There's no way he caught it and gashed it open. No.
Or caught it on something. Right. No. He hit the thumb back so hard and in the right direction that it cut his whole... It split open his hand.
It's like, I played catch with guys. I did it to one guy in college. I did it to one guy when I was here. I split the webbing between, the fingers. Because the ball, I mean, if you throw
it harder. What do you think is worse? Splitting open, like, the palm inside?
The webbing.
Or the web, because I feel like the webbing is a much more sensitive
area. The webbing
area.
Has to heal completely, because every time you go to open and tweak it, it's gonna separate a little bit. It's like you hate having a cut on a knee, because your knee is always going to flex.
Benson. Oh, God. And so, by the way, we also had learned, remember the Felger report? That he went to that that local
surgery
clinic?
Yeah, Sharon.
That was also true.
Also true.
Also true, because they needed to get him into a medical facility ASAP.
Yeah.
Because they did not, want to chance it. They wanted to get that thing.
But Andrew's like, you could hear a pin drop, because nobody on the team ever heard him scream the way he screamed. That's how bad it was.
Damn.
Yeah, so.
So there's
something
that.
Else.
I don't know if we have anybody else that we're going to be talking to. We are? Okay. Want to talk to Blair for 30 seconds? Is that who we're...
Is that Danny?
Excellent.
Who's
excellent.
Is that
excellent.
Danny Etling's still out there.
And we're not looking for Danny Etling right now.
No,
we're someone else.
Hey, it's 2 days in a row. First guy on the field, last guy off.
Blair is in Maine. 30 seconds with Blair in Maine.
Oh, God.
I'm going to something great tonight to have a great night. It's
Which
gonna be
is?
Billy Currington tonight, the state pier in Maine. Zilek, I'm excited about tonight. You guys are excited about what you guys are doing out there.
Who's Billy Turn? Who's Billy Turn to?
Yeah, Billy Turk. How does Brady look out there?
He looks like Brady, Blair. He looks just like Brady.
Brady be Brady, right? Brady
it's
be
all
Brady.
Baby.
Because during the season, when you're out on the field, I hope Brady looks awesome. Because we need Brady to do what he does, and then we need Gronkowski
to do Gronk.
What he does.
Gronkowski do what he does. What about Belichick, Blair?
Well, we don't need to worry about Belichick, man. After the things he always says in the press conferences, I don't know.
Blair, what about
unhappy people on the radio?
Yeah.
And they're always unhappy about what he says.
Right.
So can you tell me about what you think about him?
I think Bill's the best coach in the league. I think he's going to get this team ready to go. What do you think about Hardy, the headline guy, Blair?
I don't know. He's cool.
Yeah.
He's cool.
Yeah.
He has a cool golf show. I mean, have you ever listened to his golf show up in Maine?
No, but I've got to say something about Belichick, man. He's kind of hard to, listen to sometimes.
Maybe you shouldn't listen to him, man. Just
right,
turn it off when he's on,
Wow. I'm glad you got that Hardy question in there.
Yeah. How did I get brought into that?
I don't know, but it was funny.
Just trying to bring you in
credit
on it,
for
man.
It. It was funny. Yeah.
To have you
Billy Currington is a
experience or pain.
Billy Currington is a country act.
Never heard of him. He's playing the Maine fishing pier.
He's playing the Maine state pier. And honestly, by looking at the picture of him, there was a country guy in the station the other day, and Jim and I, someone who was in there performing. It may have been this guy. He sort of looks like him. Jim, come take a look at this guy.
Is that Billy Currington?
Was this the guy we saw at the country station the other day? It could have been. That could have been him, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you see, Jim gives it a thumbs up. He looks like the guy we saw the other day. Dennis has no idea. He has no
idea. Dennis doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
That's like a fascinating aspect of American culture these days, are people who are really famous that you don't know who they are. I don't know if you guys, if it was like a show breakfast at IHOP one morning.
Yes,
but it was.
Yes.
Were you there, Zoe? Where
yes.
Somebody was at a table, and the entire wait staff and a bunch of people from the kitchen, they were like beside themselves, and he was a Tejano music artist, somebody who had a show somewhere in town, and they could not believe he was sitting in an IHOP in Boston. But they came up, and there were pictures. IHOP, my apologies. Pictures
music,
and autographs.
I would sit there and say it sucks.
Like autographs and pictures and people crying that he was actually sitting there, and no clue. And if you told me his name, I still have no clue who the guy was. But man, was he famous for those people there. Absolutely. 100% big deal.
All right. Hardy, got to cut you off. We got to go talk to somebody else famous. One of the new members of the New England Patriots this season, Adrian Claiborne, joins us from the field. Adrian, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Hey, obviously, two light days. I think you're going to tell a lot more once the pads get on. But looking at a guy like Trent Brown, playing tackle, how big is that guy comparative to some of the guys you played in the league? And how hard is it to play against those type of guys?
He's definitely one of the biggest. Me being not short, but a shorter DN. It's hard to sit around him. The first 2 days, it's kind of hard to see Brady behind him, so you got to kind of work around him and get him off his stable, big ground.
What stands out to you? What are your first impressions after a couple of days of camp with your new team?
It's been great. It's been great. It's a lot of attention to detail and learning the fundamentals, and it's been good. It's been good for me.
Is it more when you say fundamentals and, you know, everything's scripted and you've got to understand your role, you're coming from a defense where, you know, everything was predicated on speed and maybe the cuts are loose a little bit more. Is that hard for players to adjust where you're more of a free willer and now all of a sudden I got to be either an A-gap, a B-gap, a C-gap type player, so to speak?
Not really. I mean, in Atlanta, we still had gap integrities, and it's the same thing as here. It's definitely more technique, but, I mean, I'm a technician with my hands, so I don't mind it at all.
Who's helped you the most since you've gotten here as a player?
I was a player. Dedrick and Trey, they've really been helping me a lot and helping me get the in position down, and I've been trying to learn it quickly.
You ready to put the pads on and hit somebody?
Yeah, that's much more my style.
Nice.
Are you expecting there to be sort of the big jump tomorrow in the level of physicality?
There definitely be. It's always the first day of pads. Everybody's hyped to put them on. We'll see how it goes from there.
All right. How many rotations do you expect sort of to play with this defense?
I have no expectations. I'm just
going to... You know, because you go with guys, and I'm just saying that because you see Vince Wilfork over the years, and Vince would play a ton and be an every-down player, and at the end he became a two- and then a one-down type player. And just Bill loves to use rotational guys, and even a guy like Trey Flowers, you mentioned, strictly an outside guy, and he'll mix it up, especially in down diamond, nickel defense, where you bring athletic guys in. Would you be able to kick down inside if asked to? Instead of being an outside guy.
Oh, yeah. I've done it a bunch when I was in Atlanta. I played inside on third down. So we'll see where they put me at and what all they want me to do. Right now I'm just trying to learn as much as quickly so I can be able to play both positions.
In your opinion, how involved is Bill Belichick in the defense right now? Because from where we sit and we're watching today, there's quite a bit of coaching happening on the defensive side of the ball.
I mean, I don't know how he was in the past, but he's around. He's around just like all the other head coaches were that I played for.
All right. Very good. Appreciate the time, Adrian.
Appreciate it, Adrian.
Yep.
Adrian Claiborne joining us here from Patriots training camp. Belichick was out there a lot today.
Yeah.
Brett Bielema was out there a lot today.
Bielema. Jim said Bielema.
I always want to say
Bielema.
Bielema. I always want to say that.
What is it, Jim? Is it Bielema or Bielema?
Bielema.
Bielema.
Bielema?
Bielema.
Bielema.
Bielema. I always want to say Bielema.
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 Bielema. Yeah. Brett Bielema.
No, so going,
Bielema. Yeah, don't. Now you're shortening it like I would do.
No.
Boy, you'll kiss.
What?
By the way, I have received a proper pronunciation from the Patriots.
Boy,
you'll kiss?
Boy, you'll kiss?
Bajorquez.
What?
Bajorquez, yes.
No, there's no R in there.
Bajorquez.
B-O-J-O-Q-U-E-Z. Boy, you'll kiss.
Pure. Bjarkis.
Bajorquez.
Bjarkis.
Nope.
B, the phonetic,
call Sosi.
The phonetic, phonetic pronunciation is B-O/H-O-R-K-E-Z. Bajorquez.
Bajorquez.
Nope.
Bajorquez. I'm sorry that you don't want to say the name properly, Hardy. I know you want to keep doing your yee-yee thing.
It's not. It's Bajorquez. Hey, agree to disagree. Sorry, Corey. You and I disagree how to pronounce your name.
Okay. Bajorquez.
All right.
What
are we doing? We got somebody else?
Yeah, we're waiting on someone, but we're going to go to Jack in New Hampshire in the meantime.
Okay.
Because he wants to restore the host's faith in taking calls on this show.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, the gentleman from Maine, I think he started doing psychedelics early for the concert. Anyway, I want to talk about the depth. I think the defensive line, I think, would be one of the strong suits of the team this year, surprisingly. But the receiver depth is worrying me. I think they should bring in Dez Bryant and Decker just to look at them in camp. And if they'll agree to an incentive contract, you know, we need someone we can count on third down to catch the ball for a first down every time. Because that's what Edelman and Amendola did. I mean, we got Gronk, but I think we need depth.
I mean, if they were definitely going to go that route or wanted to go that route, I think it would have happened by now because you get that guy in and you get him the reps. Like, that's not the addition.
It's day two, though.
I know
he
that, but I'm saying,
anywhere.
Say this goes on another 2 weeks, which it probably is going to go on. Dez is going to get to a point where, okay, I'm going to get picky and choosy now. You're not just going to go on the first opportunity or jump at the first on. There have been opportunities to where you want to go in and just play on some kind of crap team. He's played enough in this league now to where he can wait for that first guy to really get hurt.
Yes.
And say, you know what? That's my spot. That's my spot.
Should the Patriots not consider him?
I would consider everything.
I'd absolutely consider him given
you the reason. Have to. I mean, we went through the list. You've got to consider every single option that's out there. I mean, Jesus, Beetle. There's random Wednesdays during the season. They're bringing in 16 tight ends to work out just to do homework on these guys. So how the hell could they not do any homework or have any interest whatsoever in a guy like Dez Bryant or even an Eric Decker? Of course they're interested. It's all about when and timing. They're going to do it on their terms.
Tim is in Berlin. Tim.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting. You guys bring up the Brady injury and, you know, the press conference after the game. Belichick, you know, I don't want to add fuel to the fire, but he just kind of discredited the whole injury. And, you know, we're finding out more and more how serious it was. I mean, it's the Golden Boy's throwing hand. And he just goes on to say, well, we're not talking about open heart surgery here.
Right. And he's going to downplay it.
You know, it's an interesting point.
If Bill Belichick tells you that was as close to as awful as we could have had an injury, it is a deep, deep laceration. What are you going to do if you're a defensive lineman from Jacksonville? I'm going to take my cleat and I'm going to step on that hand and I'm going to put it in. Bill's job is to downplay the damn injury and give you nothing on it. He knew how bad it was. They all did. They rushed him out of practice. Tell me that guy was a concern. There you go. What's going through your thoughts then? Okay, we keep going.
No, but there was a certain level of disdain from Bill about it when he was asked about it.
I don't know. It's Bill's way of handling injury talk.
It's Bill's way of handling everything.
Yeah. But to my point, it's consistent. It's not like, oh, he's just doing that with Brady. Anybody else gets tweaked, well, you know, see when the injury report comes out. It's not that bad. So.
I have a Boyukes update.
What?
Giardi typed his name wrong in his tweet. He forgot the R. There is an R in the name. I am now siding with Patriots Media Relations. I now accept Bohorquez as the acceptable pronunciation.
Bohorquez.
Bohorquez it is. Quick timeout here from Foxborough. We're hoping to talk to another Patriots player. We'll see if that happens. Stay tuned.